Brothers and sisters, welcome to From the Hip on Remnant Radio. I'm your host, JT, and this week we're going to be looking at some spiritual warfare examples. I've kept a collection of some of the warfare that I've participated in with the media. I have a distinct feeling, a distinct unction, as the Bible would call it, to do warfare with the media. And because I find them as being such a venomous poison to the world, and one of the greatest tools that Satan is using in the world today. Remember, Satan is the angel of light, Lucifer, and he inherited darkness, became the prince of darkness, rather, as a slam from God. But he still tries to be that beacon. But now what he truly is a beacon of darkness, which is indeed the media. The ear-tickling church is included in this. So let's take a look at some of the things that some of the different people I've had to make contact with. Do we have a stapler in the office here? Okay, here it is. All right, I want to make sure that I keep these separate so that... Now, included in the agenda of the media, in my opinion, is also politics, because politics and media are bedfellows. And furthermore, religion and politics are bedfellows as well, regardless of whether our, quote, religious leaders are under that understanding today or not. And some of them are, and they don't care. They continue regardless of the agreement they've made with the government to not preach the entire truth. And so they, therefore, commit a gross sin of omission, and therefore, they break the law of God. They break the commandments of God. Remember Christ, he said he did not come to destroy the law. But remember this, that the law to Christ was different than the law to the Pharisees. Now, the law of the Pharisees, the Talmud, was man's law. That was all a bunch of inventions by the Pharisaical leaders, scribes, the lawyers, if you will, of the day. But the Torah, as Christ told them when they came up and his disciples hadn't washed their hands before they ate, they said, "Your disciples are breaking the Talmud, the law," they said. But the law they were speaking of was man's law, the law that they had made. And Jesus turned to them and said, "Your Talmud breaks the Torah." He says, "Your law breaks God's law." And so, remember what Christ was talking about. He did not acknowledge the Talmud, and it was the Talmud that they used to crucify him. It was not the Torah, because he did not do anything unrighteous. That's why they had to concoct something, which is the same thing they concocted, and it's known as the Talmud. Now, let's take a look at some of the different items I've done. When I first was saved, I had, I guess, what I like to call the bubble. I was in the bubble. I was completely surrounded by the Holy Spirit and filled with, and God continued to show me a lot of different revelations and give me knowledge, and I could see what other people could not see. I shared one of these, the major article, the first large warfare I did with Pilgrim here at the station was a very large, at least it, for the finances I had at the time, it was a very large endeavor. It took me hundreds of dollars that I really didn't have. I had to continue to work at all these different places. The Lord had me on a humble trip, if you will. And I was very low on the finance area, but he was providing, and it was an absolute faith walk, and I watched him work again and again and again. We're going to cover this one this week, and probably next week we're going to have a continuance of some of the other examples. If I have time, I'll get into something besides this large one. Just to begin, I'm going to give you some of the names of the different medias that I participate in battle with, or that I have. The first one was a extreme left magazine that came out monthly in my hometown of Flagstaff called the Flagstaff Tea Party. They call it the FTP, and I called it the Flagstaff Toilet Paper, because that truly is what it was. And it is led by lots of these pro-UFO, pro-Native American religion, pro-Eastern religion type of hippies that like to hang out there in the clean city and a bunch of tree huggers, you know. And I am a naturalist myself. I believe in natural cures. I believe in what God has given us, and to respect the earth. After all, he says he's going to destroy those destroying the earth. So I believe that, like, in fact, as one Native American said, we're not giving the earth to the following generations, but we are actually borrowing it from them. So we should indeed respect the earth. But when these people take off on a tear, and like one of the things, the front page of this magazine, what she wrote was, Bible believers ignore what's in the good book. And she quotes good. So they have a cosmology corner. They also have support group for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered youths ages 14 through 18 that they are in support of. And a lot of these other, you know, bicycles and everything else. So, I mean, it's real, quite a tea party, to be honest with you. Makes the Boston Tea Party look like a real picnic. Who else do we have? I've written and received responses from senators, also some large magazines I've written to, these major atheists. I found out later these are leading atheists in the community that I wrote to and about, because they're not even touching even close to what God has in store through his Spirit for us, and neither are the religious leaders. They're not even touching some of the things of the Spirit with these people. And it's so easy to baffle these people once you come to them with something that's absolutely unorthodox. I mean, when Paul came to people and had his experience and everything, it was completely unorthodox. But they couldn't deny the change in the man. They couldn't deny in Stephen the change in the man. And according to the Arco volumes, when Jesus Christ showed up in the room behind the locked door in Caiaphas' house after the resurrection, this was one statement that was written. It was hidden in the Vatican, written by the hand of Caiaphas, the high priest, who was in charge during the crucifixion of Christ. He sent in his resignation letter and confessed that Jesus Christ showed up in his house. Now, according to that letter, he should have been crucified himself for saying such things. However, there's no record of what happened to him. Some people think that he might have killed himself too, as well as Pilate, but there's no proof of that. Channel 2 News. I wrote a letter to Channel 2 News. Some of the other senators, let's see, we have one from here, Senator Enzine, also Jim Gibbons, Senator Reid. Some of these people are congressmen versus senators. Here's Gibbons. I think he is, yes, he's House congressman there. And Shelley Berkeley is a member of Congress. A couple responses from her. These I participate in so frequently through the Alliance Defense Fund, through ADF. They have a site there that you can go to and you can write your members of Congress. I believe that Joyce Meyer also has a site on her site, a link that you can go to, and it will locate your senators, and you can email them all at once. And this is important, people. Also, who else do we have here? John Porter. Apparently, he is a another congressman there. Let's take a look. John Ensign. I believe he was a senator. Yes, senator. A few letters to him. So, folks, you can definitely get involved. If you are not mobile, there is so much you could do. The power of the pen is certainly stronger than the sword. Look at the impact that Jesus had just from the writings that were recorded of his teachings. And Paul, as well, while he was in prison, wrote letters. Got another response here that I sent away to the, quote, Bible answer man, Hank Hanegraaff himself. And we've discussed, I think, in an earlier archive, the lawsuit that went out against Hank Hanegraaff for overtaking the current ministry that he is supposedly in charge of. Science and Theology News and various other brothers and sisters in Christ. I've written several preachers because of their either doctrine or the way that they have participated their lives in front of people. They're not living according to their word. And we need to do this personally in love with our brothers and sisters, especially the leaders. But most frequently, and I hate to say it, it is rejected. They will not make a public confession of their sins. They will not change their ways. There is major pride issue going on here. They worked hard to get into the position of control, and they're not about to let anybody usurp their authority. I've written editors of magazines. One of them, Joe Schumann, he's local here at Las Vegas. Had a big secular evaluation of Las Vegas local churches, and ironically, the ones that he enjoyed the most, one of them was a homosexual church. Okay, they believe that, you know, hey, God loves even the homosexual, you don't have to change being a homosexual, etc. He thought that one was really loving and great. And the other one was a ear-tickling church, a feel-good, you know, type of let's just not be too honest type of church. So this is stuff that's really easy to do. If you have something to say, you've seen something wrong, you've heard something wrong, you've watched something wrong, folks, you can always write a letter. And I would definitely have to advocate the letter writing versus face to face, because the beautiful thing about letter writing is it allows you to edit. And we need to come to these people in love. And I grew up in a environment which was not necessarily tactful, shall we say. I grew up where frankness was most appreciated. And I ended up going towards that group of people and migrating into a position of society and in my personal social group that I ended up with a core of what we refer to as real people. So not everybody is that way. And most of the time when people are in some sort of sin, you have to be very loving and tactful. More so in my case than the people I'm used to dealing with. The people I'm used to dealing with, I could just come straight out with it from the hip, as the radio show is called, and they would take the bullet and they would be glad of it. However, if it is a person that is not a from-the-hip, you know, raised-in-Arizona type, then you're going to need to have some tact, especially when it comes to women and children. These people are very sensitive. And the truth is, we need to look at everybody and treat everyone as a child, because surely inside of that individual is the child. And somewhere back there in their long forgotten past, they think it's forgotten, they were lied to, they were betrayed, their dreams were shattered, and they've been running with that lie ever since. And we need to remember that emotionally, most of us, if not all of us, are damaged to one degree or another. So we need to handle each other as God's children, as His treasures, as His little lambs. So it takes a lot of work, and I confess that I am not always tactful, and I have not been always tactful. And in cases where people are offended, the Lord has, in fact, provided a second opportunity to meet with that individual. I remember one time I wrote a brother a letter and told him about the t-shirt he was wearing as he led worship for us. It said, "Your girlfriend thinks I'm hot." And here he is in this contemporary church leading us in worship to the Lord. "Your girlfriend thinks I'm hot," is what his t-shirt said. And I didn't see that. What I saw was a whoremonger, and your whore has lustful thoughts for me. So I don't know about you, but the contemporary term for boyfriend, girlfriend, is somebody that you opt to have sex with, yet are not making any plans to be wed to. Therefore, the male is a whoremonger, and the female is a whore. So that's what his shirt was saying. A whoremonger's whore, you whoremonger, your whore is having lustful thoughts about me. And I'm digging it. While I'm leading worship, I'm advertising it on my chest while I'm leading this church in one of the most sacred things that we were created to do. And I'm completely oblivious of my advertisement. And I made him aware of this, okay? He was offended. He was offended. You know, I didn't come down and say, how dare you, you fool? I didn't come off to him like that. I wrote him a letter, and I edited it. And I made sure that I explained to him the way I saw it and what the truth was behind the advertisement. He was offended. Why? Probably because he was in a state of pride. Because he was a leader. He was a worship leader. And he'd worked hard to get here. He'd earned this position. He was holier than thou. Wrong. Remember, the most righteous acts that we can possibly do on this earth are the equivalent to a used menstrual cloth in God's eyes. That is scriptural, folks. That is what the actual translation of a filthy rag is. Man's righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. So don't ever be prideful to your brother. We are saved by grace, and don't think because you may have received more grace than your brother that you're more special than him. The truth is, you needed more grace than he did, because you were probably worse. So therefore, many of our leaders actually were pulled up from the bottom of the barrel or underneath the barrel and really saved. And you receive a great deal of grace and a lot of insight from the Lord. When you come from the bottom of the ocean to the surface, that's a big difference than being 10 feet under and raised up. You know, when people are really, really saved, they're really, really evangelistic for the Lord, and they can really see a whole lot of truth because they've seen a whole lot of lies, and they've experienced a whole lot of pain. But don't think that you're better than anyone else. The truth is you were worse most of the time. So take it easy on our leadership. Remember where they came from. A great deal of us had come from some of the more, I don't know what exactly the term I should use that'd be politically correct, but as far as the wrong side of the tracks, we were more like under the bridge. Okay, we were the trolls. So, leadership, try to be tactful with the sheep. We're going to take a look at one of the greatest pieces of warfare that the Lord gave to me and some of the things I wrote in my early stages. This magazine, the Flagstaff Tea Party, ended up going under 1 month later. And I praise God for that. I spent hundreds of dollars at the time. I didn't even have hundreds to spend. But as the checks came in from my temporary employment agencies, I continued to spend the money because this was important. I got a hold of this magazine's, what is it called, the mailing list, all the different places that carried this magazine in town. They provided it on their own website. So I found all of the major areas. Remember, this was my hometown, so I knew all these places and all the major areas besides the little ones, like maybe, you know, the dog adoption agency or something like that. But I sent out a letter to every single one of these people who carried this magazine. The majority of them, I should say. Not every single one. But all of the major places. It was probably around 80% of all of the places that carry this magazine in town. And all of the paper and the envelopes and the postage. I mean, it was hundreds of dollars by the time I was finished, and a lot of time. But I had to do this because the woman was calling Christians to the mat. And a few people responded to the article, but they didn't really have any real answers. So I gave the woman the answers, unorthodox, as the Lord shows them to me. Her name, and I'm going to say her name straight on the radio, because I don't care. She printed her name, and I'm going to speak her name. Frieda Van Houten, one of the leading supporters of the Friends of Flagstaff's Future, which is known as F cubed, F3. Wrote this article, and she is the wife of the head editor of the magazine, so she obviously had an in, but didn't do a whole lot of homework before she wrote it. Let's start at the beginning. She writes, "Bible believers ignore what's in good book. How women are treated in the Bible is sure to surprise even some Christians." By Frieda Van Houten, Flagstaff resident. Julius Caesar, 100 to 44 BC, a Roman general, statesman, and historian, said that people believe what they want to believe. Belief has no relationship to facts. If the facts don't fit the belief, the facts will have to change, not the beliefs. In many cases, willful ignorance is self-imposed. One denies the facts, therefore they don't exist. We have seen what belief can do. September 11th happened to us. Yet, people persist in believing that this was only the work of certain fundamentalists in a specific religion. What they do not seem to recognize is that the fundamentalists in their own religion, and in many ways they themselves, believe what those other fundamentalists teach. Many things are written in the Bible. Christians are especially good at quoting from the part they cherish, ignoring the rest. For instance, one letter to the editor in the Tea Party, that's the name of the magazine, referred to how well women are treated and respected in the Old Testament. Proverbs 31 supposedly describes how women are honored. Verse 10 says, "A good wife, who can find?" The rest of the verses, 10 through 31, describe a good wife. If a woman lived up to the description, she wouldn't have time to get any rest. If she did everything mentioned, her husband would have to be some loafer. Those who care enough might read the rest of the chapter at their leisure. Now, for some more biblical respect for women, below is my summary. Go to the passages for the full view, which I did, and my response will be coming up shortly. Let's continue with what she says. Genesis 3:16, women cursed, maternity a sin, marriage a bondage. Exodus 21:17, insulting 10th commandment, women equated with oxen and asses, or the property of a man. Exodus 21:7 through 11, unfair rules for female servants, may be sex slaves. Chapter 38, verse 8, women may not enter the tabernacle they are forced to support. Leviticus 12:1 through 14, women who have sons are unclean 7 days. Leviticus 12:4 through 7, women who have daughters are unclean 14 days. Leviticus 19:20 through 22, if master has sex with engaged woman, she shall be scourged. Numbers 1, 2, poll of people only includes men. Numbers 31:16 through 35, virgins listed as war booty. Deuteronomy 21:11 through 14, a manual for rape. Deuteronomy 22:28 through 29, women must marry her rapist. Deuteronomy 25:11 through 12, if woman touches foe's penis, her hand shall be cut off. Judges 19:22 through 29, concubine sacrifice to rapist crowd to save man. 1 Kings 11:1 through 4, King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Proverbs 7:9 through 27, evil women seduce men, send them to hell. Isaiah 3:16 through 17, God scourges and rapes haughty women. Luke 2:22, Mary is unclean after birth of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:3 through 15, man is head of woman, only man in God's image. 1 Corinthians 14:34 through 35, women keep silent, learn only from husbands. 1 Timothy 2:11 through 14, women learn in silence, in all subjection. Eve was sinful, Adam blameless. Now, obviously, any of you listening who are Christians know that she is being very short-sighted. This is a person who has no biblical, theological background. This is a person who they themselves are telling other people that they're ignorant, but they themselves are ignorant. So she continues, this is a small sample of the over 200 allusions to respect for women. I'm with Julius Caesar, she says. People are not only afraid to read anything that disagrees with their beliefs, they also don't want others to read, learn, or know any more than they do. The removal of William Edelin's column from FTP illustrates my point. There was a previous column in there where a man did a lot of what she's doing now. Let's just put it that way. The column is no longer an FTP because some ignorant loudmouths, this is funny, created so much noise that factual reasoning was thrown out and slogans reigned. Yes, Edelin did, I think, make statements some people could not understand, but did they read any of the material he suggested and come forth with reasoned discussion? In my opinion, no. The facts might not fit their beliefs. If a religious person's belief is so strong, why the necessity to put an end to discussion rather than allow reasonable thoughts on the subject to be published? This I agree with when it comes to cult religion. They tell you not to discuss, at least the Jehovah's Witnesses tell you not to discuss scripture with any other religion so that you would not be swayed. Well, that surely is from the devil, because the Bible tells us to be ready in season and out of season to any man to give him a proper answer to the hope that lies within us. So, she continues, facts do not change beliefs. That is why I do not apply the word belief to anything I say. Thinking is the word I prefer, although it's not always possible to be reasonable. As intelligent animals, we must work at it or perish in our self-imposed ignorance or beliefs. Some of the letters in the Tea Party January issue illustrate this very well, but unfortunately, their authors will never educate themselves beyond their beliefs. I wonder how many people will read the biblical verses I quoted in context and think about the implications of the entire book rather than their favorite verses or verses they quote to substantiate their beliefs. I bet more people will prefer to attack me personally than educate themselves on the matter. Well, let's take a look at my zealous response to this poor misguided soul, or this poor misguided advocate for the beacon of darkness, Lucifer. My response, first of all, was a one-page response, as hers was a one-page response to the scriptures, and I gave her a summary. And I entitled it, Ancient Roman Chicks Ignore Word from God, which is a rebuttal to her title, Bible Believers Ignore What's in Good Book, and she was with Julius Caesar, so I wrote, Ancient Roman Chicks Ignore Word from God. How the Bible is slandered is sure to surprise even some women. Genesis 3. Eve commits spiritual fornication with Satan, causes curse of demonic hostility for womankind, drags Adam into boat. Exodus 20, verse 17. Woman second in line after children, a nation's greatest treasure. Exodus 21, 7 through 11. Female slaves protected by engagement to master, marital rights, respect, family heirs, males get circumcision, slavery, abandonment or goring of ear, and lifelong servitude. Exodus 38, verse 8, serving God a privilege, offering from ministering women accepted to build the church. Leviticus 12, 1 through 4, spiritual uncleanness, blood is sacred. Women bleed, a double purification for her own good at the birth of a female. Leviticus 19, 20 through 22, a man lying with maidservant lost a valuable ram from his flock. The maidservant has no possessions and is whipped. The fear keeps the pants on and the nation stays holy. Numbers 1, 2, poll was for war, men only. Numbers 31, 16 through 35, men die and kill God's enemies. The enemy males are all killed. Women without a covenant to the males, that's the virgins, are spared. God makes them family. They receive salvation, marital rights, heirs, respect, and he rescues them from the desert and rapists and demons. Deuteronomy 21, 11 through 14, men willfully dying for God. Again, the women captives are given the opportunity to be elevated to wife with all benefits again, but the men have to remain captive enemies of God and slaves. The women receive respectable mourning period for their loss before they're married to their husband. Deuteronomy 22, verse 28 through 29, the woman is not raped. She gives it up. She doesn't yell out. The prior verses state that all rapists are killed. The man consensually de-virginizing a woman is forced to marry her and pay the parents and can never divorce her for any reason. A man claiming that his wife is not a virgin and lies has to pay the parents and can never divorce her. Verse 13 through 19. A man and strange engaged woman having sex, this is consensual again, are killed together. The fear keeps the pants on and the nation stays holy. Deuteronomy 25, 11 through 12. It says, quote, foe of husband, not an enemy of God. So what we're talking about is Israelites here. And the man grabbing the other man's genitals. And if there's damage to the Israelite jewels, okay, it destroys descendants. The legal protocol was previously established. Okay, this is a woman's touching of the penis, okay? Now, whether that be a cleanliness thing or a law of whatever type, you know, or if this is because of the damage that occurs to the genitalia. I mean, we're talking about the foe of the husband. It doesn't say one of God's enemies is attacking your husband. It's just a foe of your husband. He's talking about tribal issues here, okay? So a woman is not to get in there and grab a man's jewels, okay? So there's got to be some protection thing going on there. Let's take a look. I'm sure the Lord will explain it all to us one day at the great feast. Judges 19, verse 22 through 29. The concubine was a cheat. Okay, here she's complaining because they throw this concubine to the crowd. And I learned later, also, and I'll discuss this again as I go over these in detail, that the man was a Levite and was a priest, and he tarried, and he tarried, and he tarried, and basically what the whole concept of the story is that a man, a priest, okay, needs to focus on the Lord. As the Lord says later on, any man who does not hate his mother and hate his father, his brother, and sisters is not worthy of the kingdom. And the word hate is referring to adoring these things more so than the kingdom. So we'll discuss that later. But the concubine was in fact a cheat. Okay? But he went after her anyway. And after that, they ended up in a sticky situation where the whole city wanted to rape them. And they sent her out to the crowd, and they abused her to death. And he took her back and divided her body into 12 portions and sent one portion to each of the 12 tribes as a sign, as a warning. Okay, he didn't do that to say, you know what? This is what's going to happen to all women who cheat on their men. Okay, yes, she was a cheat, but he went after her. Okay, and because he did that and he tarried, he left his post. And the Lord said, you know what? Boom, he allowed this to happen. So he divided up into 12 portions as a warning to the children of Israel. Okay? Now, 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4, my response to Frida is that King Solomon listened to his wives the same way that Adam listened to his wife. And guess what? He lost the kingdom. And there was eventual division of the entire nation and war, etc., and everything that went on with them. Proverbs 7, 9 through 27. The married woman seduces a man and breaks the seventh commandment. Yes, this is an evil woman. Isaiah 3, 16 through 17. God humiliates women that are dressed like hookers. Okay, it's not raping. It's stripping them, and all the men are killed. Okay, so the women are spared again. Luke 2, verse 22, blood and the life within poured on the ground. Spiritual cleansing is due. 1 Corinthians 11, 3 through 15, God is masculine, the father of all. Simple as that, amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, the church was serious business. Interruptions from emotional superiors, that being our women, are not allowed. Man required to be the priest and the king of home. As the marriage vows say, cherish equals nourish, which means teach and feed, and protect, which is the king aspect. So here, the nourish, teaching and feeding would be the priest aspect, and the protect would be the king aspect, priests and kings. The instruction was intimate, personal, loving, and required by God. The learning environment more suitable for women, at least women of the time. And it certainly should be the same today. 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 14, Adam ate the fruit. He was not blameless. But verse 15 says that women have the same road to salvation as men. Remember, God created them in His image. It says in the Bible, in His image created He him. In his image created he them. And there was male and female. Okay? It's not one is in his image and the other is. God created man in his image and the woman in the image of the man. But the Genesis says he created he them. Okay? All right. My summary of this one-page response was to tell her to try believing away gravity. Okay? If your beliefs will not change, or the facts will not change your beliefs, then try believing away the law of gravity. God's voice, or word, creates, which is the same as law. God's voice creates law. Okay? God's voice creates. God's word is law. The Bible and Jesus, God's word, equal law, is creation. And P.S., a woman tired, according to Proverbs 31, from shopping, making clothes, selling them, feeding her family, and keeping oil in a lamp, could not be an Arizonan, as she says she is a resident of Flagstaff. She's certainly not from any kind of Arizonan I know. The long term of this warfare we will take a look at from one of the earliest archives I have saved of my earlier warfare days to the Flagstaff Tea Party, which I refer to as the Flagstaff Toilet Paper. We're going to take a quick break and listen to a little music, and we'll be right back to discuss the spiritual warfare examples. We're going to go over some of these early archives. Be right back.
Glory to God in everything. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is King. It is written in the Word. It is written in the Word. Oh, glory to God in everything. Jesus Christ, our Lord is King. It is written in the Word. Son of God, heaven above. John says God is love. It is written.
It is written.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, welcome back to From the Hip. We've been discussing spiritual warfare examples, some of the earlier warfares, and in fact, some of the most recent ones. I like to keep archives of the warfares that I do with the media. I have occasionally kept copies of some of the letters. It depends on if I write them by hand or if I write them on the computer. If I write them on the computer, I am able to save them onto my warfare file. And sometimes I keep the letters that I write to different friends. I've written some letters to my wife, you know, as far as some of our issues. It's the power of the pen is mighty, certainly. And the beautiful thing about writing letters, folks, is it gives you the opportunity to edit and be non-offensive. Because typically, the first thing that happens is our flesh gets in the way. Remember, there were two trees, okay? And we need to take a look at the results of our falling in sin. The first thing that came forth was Cain, and that is the man of the flesh. And typically, in our walk, that will also be the first thing that comes forth. That's what makes the battle hard. In fact, that's what makes a battle at all, is that we have this initial problem. Now, if our spirit came forth and then flesh creeped up behind, which is also a problem, but if that was the only means that we had a problem, then we wouldn't really have a whole lot of warfare. But the most prevalent problem we have is flesh. The spirit is something we pursue, and we must walk in faith and exercise and strengthen as we continue. So sit down, write a letter, then go over it and make sure you take the beam out of your own eye. If you discover that in any way, shape, or form or facet that you can possibly conceive in that letter is also a sin that you have in one way, shape, or form, and it helps to take it to a non-biased third party. If you're really wondering, gee, you know, I wonder if maybe in such and such a way I've got the same sin, then you better get a second opinion before you deliver that letter. Okay? And furthermore, get the beam out of your own eye before you send the letter, and it will probably make you change what you've written already. Now let's take a look at the long response. Dear Flagstaff Toilet Paper, my name is JT. My address is 1701 Mountain View, number 7. My phone number is 522-6673. My pager number is 213-7823. Flagstaff is my hometown. Being a resident does not make you a local. Nice try, but it's really not important. This is not the center of the universe for some of us, and we are all well aware that anyone has the technical right to claim their residency, even as Arizonans, after one lousy year. Of course, this still has no effect on your precious cosmic independence or being the center of your own universe like a newborn. Growing up Jehovah's Witness, I have seen every neighborhood in town, most people, and if they be for or against God. I am an ex-tarot reader, ex-alcoholic, ex-drug addict, ex-con. That, in short, is a Flagstonian. The law doesn't pick on every bicycle-riding mop that passes by. They enforce the law and sometimes abuse the privilege on all of us. Power is typically abused. Example, marriage. However, I am grateful they are here. I have seen lawlessness, and it ain't cool. I admire Frida, and I admire women. I have also hated women, and God, and law and order. But thank God I've been saved. You should all thank God I've been saved. And I do not ignore what is in the good book, and for the next few pages, neither will you. Ignorance is what many will claim on Judgment Day, but ignorance is the art of ignoring and no excuse to our Lord. The reason I write to you is because I have seen something you haven't. I know something you don't, and I understand what you cannot see. I know what God, that God is beyond your ability to comprehend. For example, wisdom is knowledge guided by understanding. Wisdom created the universe, and God can evaluate it. I speak from experience, not doctrine. And if it were not for that, I would still be full of questions which no person on earth would be able to answer, regardless of faith. The who, what, and why that you live in, which causes you to formulate answers amongst yourselves and put them in writing as in each other we trust, history proves this to be a huge mistake, are all answered by the presence of God. The Bible states that God is to be found to all who diligently seek Him. This I did, and voila, my so-called life was over and my purpose began. Acts 2. We are all created with a purpose, yet few of us know it. My purpose is to bring you and others this message. The relationship of Adam and Eve was ideal. Then Satan came along and the formulas changed. Don't blame God, blame Satan. He is a goddamned liar. God created all creatures with free will. The FTP is a great example, because to create a robot is not love. Creating us alone was a huge act of love, just as a child is created by the act of love between a man and a woman. The word woman means a man with a womb. So you see, we're actually brothers. We were given Jesus to reach God again, another act of love. The lineage of Christ is by way of love. Abraham's love was for Sarah, although he had another son already by Hagar at Sarah's request. They begat Isaac. Jacob's love was for Rebekah, although he had 3 other wives, 10 sons, and a daughter. They begat Joseph. King David's love was for Bathsheba, and they begat Solomon, although there were other wives and older heirs. It doesn't matter to God who is eldest. Only love is important, and righteousness. There were 2 hookers in the lineage. Yet they were found righteous in God's eyes by their deeds, according to His purpose. Let's look at Frieda's wounds. I'm careful not to focus on individual verses, but to read the surrounding scriptures. In my experience, people can create an entire cult with bits and pieces and ruin a child's life. God bless them with His Holy Spirit. Genesis 3. The serpent got his legs taken away. Perhaps some shrine is in order. And made to eat dust, or predator of mankind. I don't see where maternity is a sin, but childbirth became a major drag, and it looks like now that men will have to work all day, child rearing will be a sorrowful drag too. If marriage is a bondage, you need to take it up with your husband. But it will probably do no good, since it's your desire or longing to rule over to your husband that will never be satiated, because the Bible states immediately afterward that he will rule over you. I have honestly only heard of one woman, a female friend's mother, who lived her marriage as bondage and duty, and she couldn't orgasm. Apparently, this wasn't the case until after the original sin, which, in fact, was only man's first sin. The first sin was actually from Satan. Some preachers say it was pride, and will give an entire sermon on it. But how can a lesser being than God be prideful when spending his entire existence right next to God? He can't. It was lust. Lucifer equals lust. We inherited lust. Eve ate from lust. Pick a sin. Its root is lust, even pride. Eve led the revolution, and God determined that she would have to be restrained. Or was it just part of the cosmic balance? If a man and woman become one flesh from marriage, then tell me the consequence of spiritual fornication. The devil is no fool, except for his big boo-boo. He deceived a third of heaven. He knew to pick Eve. Her emotional superiority was ripe for his plan. Tell me, were Satan's actions smart? No. You've heard his fate. His actions were emotional. Adam, or man, was not given a special ability to rule Eve, or woman. Remember, God isn't handing out blessings here, but curses. In fact, he was simply stating what their own actions would cause to happen. I believe that woman's ability to get along with her own was severely jacked. Enmity, meaning hostility, between the serpent's seed and her seed didn't mean that women would always hate snakes or male genitalia. I'm sure downtown Flagstaff has proved both of those points. The seed of a nation was always by men, so obviously a woman's seed is women. Satan's seed, as a spirit, are his followers, or demons, and adopted children, wicked people being possessed. What it means is women would be plagued by harassment from demons, be they in spirit within themselves or from another person, usually another woman. Sounds a little far-fetched? Tell me, whose life is harder, men's or women's? Tell me, who can't get along, men or women? This would indicate that men are less hostile to men in some fashion, and therefore we are able to rule the world with each other's help. I mean, could you imagine an army of women? They would probably destroy themselves before they even knew the enemy. Sorry. The United States of America is so far the best attempt in a long time at a nation. This land was sought for Christ, proven by the Mayflower Compact, founded as a Christian nation, proven by the Constitution, and operates by biblical values, or the Ten Commandments. Any further evidence is in our patriotic songs, anthems, money, founding fathers and presidents, court records, school records, and national heroes, including Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Ronald Reagan. However, these are all being destroyed on a daily basis from within and without by Satan, meaning slanderer, the devil, meaning opposer. It is all of our God-given right to serve God or the devil, but we don't have to choose either or. All we have to do is choose God, because you already belong to the devil. As Bob Dylan says, you can serve the devil or you can serve the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. We're vessels, and we do not remain empty for long. We either contain the Holy Spirit or an evil or unclean one. Or ones. Why is booze called distilled spirits? Isn't it ironic that almost every crime committed is while intoxicated on alcohol? Not to mention all the death caused from, quote, accidents, murder, and a plethora of diseases. And do you think a person just decided to say someone is in, quote, poor spirits just because it was rave? Read the account of King Saul, and there are plenty of others. You see, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an opinion. That is why so many Christians are zealots. Once you know, you can't not know. There is nothing greater than the freedom of the knowledge of Christ. I hope someday he pays all of you a visit. Of course, being born into sin and sinful, the Christian is subject to hypocrisy. If he preaches the law and not the Spirit. The plot to murder Christ began when he put the spirit of the law above the letter of the law. The spiritual leaders of the time sought to kill him, and not much has changed since. Anton Zandor LaVey stated in the Satanic Bible that Satan does not hate the church. Look how long it's kept him in business. The Bible tells us that atrocities will be committed in His name. My childhood, to me, is one of those atrocities. This is why you shall know them by their fruits. Christian literally means Christ-like, so naturally it's a tough world to be a good Christian. Even Christ, the Son of God, had more trouble with his own than the government. However, prophecy states that the body of Christ will become as one in the end times, and many churches today are either revising their beliefs or dying. The most rapidly growing churches today are non-denominational. Repent! The end is nigh. Truth is truth. Julius was shallow. You can't believe away truth. Just as creation contains laws, Jesus said he did not come to bring peace but a sword, to divide fathers from sons, mothers away from daughters, God's children away from the spawn of Satan. World peace. Absolutely. Today, I can turn on any TV or radio and see the evidence of the Bible. Any publication, book, or nursery rhyme is full of it. Look at anything and tell me there is no God. Wrong. He is everywhere. To believe means to exercise faith. Faith being the evidence of things unseen, the substance of things hoped for. Hope being that which is known to come. The great hope is not an empty hope, my friends, nor is the spiritual world a development of the material world. But the flesh is a manifestation of the spirit realm and the evidence thereof. I know that the spirit world is more real than reality, and it's not because a section of my brain took a dump. No, no, no. When the creator of the universe is in the house, even the unlivable is alive. Solar flares got nothing on this kind of power. Baptized by fire, baby. Yeah. You wanted an educated response, but now you're getting one that is not orthodox. Hey, Jesus was a rebel, and he raged against the machine. And the bonus of being a Christian is I still get to disagree with the world. Only this time, I'm doing it by actually loving people instead of hating them. I speak from experience and not dogma. I don't preach the ins and outs of Catholicism, Judaism, Mormonism, or any other ism, meaning I sponsor myself. If any organization can be traced to any founder other than Jesus Christ himself, it's not the truth, and don't you listen to it, sister. Although every denomination has truth in it, and this is why they are so gung-ho, it's not the big picture. In fact, many people's beliefs are actually right, like the cosmic balance dudes. But it just shouldn't be made a religion because it's not the whole truth. Nor should they assume that any dope is where spirituality lies. Dope is, in fact, where spirituality lies. If you don't think the good book is good, or God, then pick up some witchcraft and dance with the devil. Then you'll come to believe in Satan. Not just some boogeyman or a creepy feeling, no. You will experience the evil that could only be the ultimate enemy of all that is good, or God. In fact, you may even end up face to face with the bastard. I'll tell you right now, he will never love you. No matter how much you do his bidding, or how many people you do evil to, or how much you plead for his power, or how much you entertain your own sins, he will always, only, ever want your death and soul. God loved us all while we were yet wicked. This is a crosses over time, frontwards and backwards thing. This is in the now. This is not a history book. It's a manual for life. God the Father gave his only begotten of himself, Son, to cleanse our blood with his. The beautiful thing is that the only way to the knowledge of God is through the childlike acceptance of this simple truth. then the wisdom of God will become yours as a child has. Innocence, the opposite of guilt. We become children of God, joint heirs to the throne of heaven. After the whole world spins its wheels to the rims, it's as simple as looking up and saying, "Show me your way." Believing in God, not educating oneself. I guarantee you, I have more authority in any courtroom in the world than the judge that swings the gavel if I am in accordance to God's will. And death is how far I will go in this world for our Lord, only because I will be gone afterward. That is how far he went for me. But he continues to give me strength and all that I need still, because he is alive. The factual evidence for Christ is overwhelming, and more so is the evidence for God. For a non-believer to call a believer uneducated or ignorant is simply a confession from the accuser. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Most people do not choose Christ or ignore because they are happy in their self-idolization and Satanism, or the fulfillment of selfish desire. Here's one example. 40 million USA women since Roe versus Wade have chosen to sacrifice their own child by abortion so they can pursue their own selfish desires, known as Satanism, rather than allow the life which God gave to live. In short, it's a human sacrifice to Satan. It's called the American Holocaust, almost 7 times worse than the Jewish one, and we didn't have to lift a finger to do it. Personally, I'm upset the Christians didn't do more to stop this, but recently we have begun to get back into politics. Since the 40s, I believe, when we got out, everything really started to go to hell quick. Not to mention the great feats of death have been caused under the guise of Christianity also. Worse yet, the sacrifice is voluntary by the victim's own mother, and the child never even sees the light of day, straight from the womb, at its purest. Now, if anyone can't see that as evil, they can't see at all. God has so many things to show us, but it comes down to choice. Just like Adam and Eve, mankind has been eating from that tree ever since, the tree of sin and death. I choose the fruit of life and the tree which it comes from. I choose the cross. I pick it up every day, put it around my neck, and follow him. Luke 20, verse 17 through 18. Exodus 20, I see wife immediately after a man's house, being his household or his children. Unless you believe that children are immaterial to God and therefore not mentioned, and that a man's tent alone is more important than his wife in the pecking order of sin. I don't think so. Matthew 5, verse 28, 19, 14. Children are a nation's greatest treasure. It looks to me like someone gouged Frida. Her sight is not 20/20. Nothing personal or gender bashing or self-righteous. I speak from my heart for her concern. If any woman has been treated unjustly by a man, I can reverse sympathize due to being repeatedly used by women. The feeling is sheer violation and robbery of an unexplainable sort. Unless somebody went through it themselves, they would never truly know, much like becoming a believer. It's an unnatural event that goes against the very grain of the soul. To me, it's further evidence of the existence of Satan being the destroyer and predator. I'm from a background where it's appreciated to be frank. I've found it beneficial more so than harmful. The 14 days versus 7 implies women are more unclean than men. This would answer the question why women are subjected to greater submission to God through their husbands, as men are through Christ. It's a blood filter, and it's spiritual, I assure you. Blood contains the life of a being. When it's spilled upon the ground, the process is like the death cleansing in the Old Testament where the ash water was sprinkled, also like the disciples going across the earth. I don't see female slaves being worse off than males. Women get protection from any man by becoming engaged to their masters, giving her marital rights, respect, favoritism, family heirs, and salvation through marriage. Or she was released after 7 years. Men had to be circumcised if sold to Israelites. Mutilation, according to liberalists. Forfeit his family and go it alone after 7 years unless he came on with a wife. Or get his ear awled to a post publicly and serve his master forever for the sake of having a family. This isn't so bad considering the option in another country of having your nuts chopped off and never leaving under the penalty of death, let alone ever having a wife and family. Suddenly, I don't see women as getting the raw end of the deal. Shall we continue? The tabernacle was for Levites only, so there were plenty of men also who didn't get to go in. Besides, even Levite women were special. They were the wives of the Levites, not to mention that little Eve and Satan thing. The good news is the women's vanity was made into a wash basin for the church, the holy water birdbath. I know well enough that there is significance to this, but the point is the offer was found acceptable, and this was a great honor for Israelites. Some translations call them ministering women. Every tribe had to pay tribute to the temple and the priests, the tribe of Levi, in treasure, flocks, and entire cities. So don't get up in arms over a few gals giving up their mirrors for a holy cause. Before the curses, we walked with God in the garden, and no temple was required. But since we were given free will out of love and meddled in the divine order of things, we got introduced into the knowledge or knowing good from evil. And as mere humans, we can't understand the formulas without God's help. Leviticus 19 says, any man who lie with a slave girl, not her master. A slave had no possessions, so she was whipped. The man of the tribe lost a ram from his own flock, which is a valuable animal to a shepherd. Sin requires some sort of antidote, usually requiring death, and almost always from the individual's own pocket. The wages of sin is death. King David lost his newborn for murdering Bathsheba's husband, and he remained in good standing with God after his repentance. After the sin in the garden, God made skins for them to wear. This was the death of two animals. Now we wear the robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, who himself took 39 lashings with a scourge for our ailments. By his stripes we are healed, one lashing short of the Roman standard for death. I've heard that the categories of human diseases are 39, yet I haven't looked into that. Christ actually went through a lot more and still does, Acts 9, 4-5. The conversion of Saul to the Apostle Paul, once a Jew of Jews, now counted it all as garbage since he received the knowledge of Christ. Numbers 1. The poll of men only for the purpose of war. I can't believe you're complaining about women not being counted. Not to mention the fact that you didn't mention the children again. After all, who's more important? I'm telling you, if somebody doesn't stand up for these kids, how will they ever be permitted into the battlefield? War is waged on God's enemies. That's God's enemies, being those who resist the chosen. And every enemy male is killed. Every newborn baby boy, every old man, every male there is killed. In fact, every female who ever laid with one of them is killed. This is because the blood covenant of a popped cherry makes her one flesh with him. See any other reason? Men belong to and answer to God. There is no debate on who suffers a worse fate if they screw off. Men bear the burden of responsibility like women will never know. The love of God is limitless. He saves all the pure females from the desert, snakes, scorpions, slave traders, that being rapists, and demons. They are taken under his wing and given the bounty of being the wives of the chosen people with all the benefits, salvation, heirs, family, husband, etc. The word booty is not Hebrew, but Old English, and has been incorporated with a woman's butt because of the rape, pillage, and plunder aspect of pirates, which were mainly English. Deuteronomy 21. Again, here are men willingly going to war for God. If a man sees a woman of the enslaved captives and wants to elevate her to wife status and take full responsibility for her, not victimize her, then he shaves her hair, that being her honor, cuts off her gaudy nails, has her remove the garments of the enemy, takes her into his own tent, and keeps his hands off of her for a month while she is allowed to mourn her folks, which she would have done in chains otherwise. Then she becomes his wife with all the benefits we've discussed earlier. Any surviving men were to remain slaves, no options. War means that a man is either going to die a gruesome death or get mangled. But since this is for God, you hear no record of complaint. I would say they all took it like a man. Regardless of getting killed horribly, taking an extreme beating, getting maimed, or living with the bloodshed of others, a man was loyal to God. There is a better place for a longer period of time for God's loyal. Besides, you could end up with an exotic wife. These enemies of God have no say as to who their new husband will be. But it is, in fact, a marriage, not rape, and some saving grace just to be a woman and have the opportunity to break the yoke of oppression. Given that the enemy was typically wicked, it stands to reason that some women may have even looked forward to the prospect of a new and faithful husband. Some women, anyway. Others may have preferred the immorality, as they say when in Rome. It's better to be God's daughter than his enemy, although your old man would probably have some serious battle scars in character. Deuteronomy 22, verse 28 through 29, imply voluntary sex, not rape, again. Otherwise, it would say forces her instead of if they be found. See verse 13 and on. A man claiming his wife was not a maid and is caught lying about it is forced to pay her dad publicly and could never divorce her. A man devirginizing a maid consensually is forced to pay her dad half price and may never divorce her. All rapists are killed, a law which I believe should still be enforced. Deuteronomy 25. Here's an odd one. Personally, I'd bite off the genitalia of a foe to save myself. But in this case, they're not talking about God's enemies, but another Hebrew, which means the jewels are full of God's children and are a hands-off thing. He has a promise to live up to, meaning Abraham. The law of Moses was fulfilled in Christ's debut, and there's no more hand-chopping as Gentiles. John 8, 1 through 11. Judges 19. Notice in the beginning of the chapter that his concubine cheated on him. There's no reason for this story except that a woman should reconsider cheating on her old man. Being a Levite has something to do with it, I'm sure, since they are usually mentioned specifically for the fact that they are priests or are supposed to be. The Good Samaritan tells of the Pharisee, then a Levite, who passed by a beaten, robbed man, indicating any race. Yet it is the Samaritan who picks him up, and Samaritans were considered lowlifes by Jews. The difference of a true story and a parable is the word certain. Example, a certain man named Lazarus, the scene of a man in hell. This event may have happened strictly to put fear into the hearts of loose women. Note Deuteronomy 21:18 through 21. Fear was a great motivator, and the laws kept the nation free of evil. Apparently, God saw the sacrifice of one as a better option than genocide. So even if a young man was disorderly, he was publicly killed by everyone, even at the bidding of his own parents, if need be. I doubt there were many rapists. 1 Kings 11. Yes, King Solomon had too many women, and he couldn't resist them. He made offerings to their gods instead of God Almighty, and lost the kingdom. This point of the Bible is a milestone, and is similar to the beginning with Adam and Eve, where things couldn't get any better, and then brain fart. Genesis 3:17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife. Proverbs 7, this particular woman is married, verse 19, and to lay with her is adultery, which breaks the seventh commandment. Such a practice is among several that will prevent a person from inheriting the kingdom of God, which is as internal now as external later, and will make all feel like you're in hell on earth anyway. Salvation is immediate, and therefore includes holy living as a reasonable request, rather than being crucified ourselves. I would venture to say that a great deal of people would wish their partner would go to hell for cheating. Hell hath no fury like the scorn of a woman. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and the law permits us to be excused from the marriage, even according to New Testament spirit standards, if you will. Praise God. Isaiah 3. You're trying to propagate that God is a rapist. Well then, since men are created in His image, I guess we must all be rapists. Once again, my experience in Flagstaff alone brings me to the conclusion that sex is so popular, I myself have turned it down, and that's saying something for this old boy. The word discover, their private parts, means to reveal or uncover so as to shame one. This isn't so bad considering all the men get killed again, verse 25. The women get to live in sorrow and raise the kids. Christ was stripped on the cross, publicly mocked, scourged 39 times, crowned with wild thorns which were beaten into His skull. His beard was ripped out. He was beaten beyond recognition. All night, He had to carry His own torture stake through the entire town. Vinegar was shoved in His face. He was crucified with nails and left to die of exposure, starvation, pain, and loss of blood. But it was the sins of the world, yours and mine, that broke His heart. Water and blood. During Christ's death, He could probably smell the sweet, expensive oil that Mary Magdalene, an ex-prostitute, had anointed Him with for His burial. He said to God the Father, "Thy will, not mine, be done." And now He's our Lord forever. Those who fall upon the rock will be broken, yet those the rock fall upon shall be crushed. Luke 20:18. Luke 2, yes, the old seven-day gig. It is the number of completion, cleanliness, or perfection, at least for mankind. Blood contains life. The eating of blood was not permitted, and the touching of it or spilling of it was usually followed by some kind of process. It's cosmic balance, dude. Some say it's a bloody religion. I say it's the living Word of God. Note Luke 2:36-38. 1 Corinthians 11. What can I say? God is a masculine spirit. He is our Father. Verse 11 and 12 should be of some comfort to you, but at this point perhaps we should consider carterization. 1 Corinthians 14. Obviously, God is working through some men, while others are told to keep quiet, being men. Women were not even permitted into the tabernacle in old times, and only Levite men at that. But now it seems that Jesus did us all another favor. It remains the husband's responsibility to be the priest and king of his home. The wedding vows are to cherish the wife and to respect the husband. The word cherish means to nourish and protect. Nourish means to teach and feed or to be a priest. Protect is to be a king. Instruction was an intimate, personal thing between a man and his wife, probably more acceptable to a woman and required by the Lord. Church was a down-to-business place, and basic stuff was not permitted. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. I'm sure everyone had a schedule to meet. Many of Paul's letters addressed traditions also, which have changed over the millennia. 1 Timothy 2. Adam is not blameless, sister, and I'm living proof. Yes, Eve was sinful, but guess who else ate from that tree? The difference is in the curses afterward, but verse 15 states that a woman's salvation is no different than a man's. For a woman to subject herself to her husband is to subject herself to God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. Is this why every time my dad came in, my mom would say, "Oh Lord"? You speak of respect for women. I was shown that the two main reasons for divorce is that she doesn't feel cherished and he doesn't feel respected. Now, since you're obviously going for the masculine aspect from a marriage, I'll play along and be a 90s guy and demand to be cherished. So tell me, are you better at nourishing or protecting? Actually, I see you making a great attempt at both for the sake of many women. And by today's standards, you are a credit to your gender. It's too bad that there aren't enough men who take the same initiative, but your commentary is chock full of holes. And I see today's standards as entirely substandard and getting worse annually. That is why I'm an 1890s guy. You're either entirely misinformed or suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder or shell shock, or you are a flat-out liar, spreading propaganda for the fulfillment of your own selfish desires, which, as we have already discussed, is Satanism, and why God hates all liars. You should thank your lucky stars, pagan, that men passed the Equal Rights Amendment, or ERA, or you would probably be burning at the stake right now, or something like that. I have spoken to many women of all ages who wish the whole ERA thing never happened and wish those women, quote, would have kept their big mouths shut. Some of them would probably roast marshmallows in your pyre. Speaking of Julius, you should see the role some ancient Roman chicks played and compare that to their rulers and husbands. I'm sure their fingers wouldn't accommodate all the rings if they were forced to marry. Of course, they still have their toes and ears, necks, wrists, ankles, noses, eyebrows, bellies, and let's see, what else is there? Ah, yes, lips, tongues, and what's up with that? Now tell me, who really did or does see bondage? A whore is bound, not a wife. But you would have to see in the spirit to know. Money is supposed to bring security, but the rich are always worried to death and surrounded by alarms and attack dogs. They end up dead with rubber gloves on. Now a bum, that guy will sleep in a gangster's gutter. Smoking is supposed to be cool and relax you, but a smoker without cigarettes is a danger to society. And once he gets them, he chokes like he can't hardly handle the poison anymore, and is the least cool in school. Ah, yeah. Sin is all good for a season. God is good. And friends, it ain't all good. If you call any local Flagstaff church, I'm sure they would be more than happy to help lead you to Christ, starting with the sinner's prayer. I have attended quite a few of the local churches, and I would be happy to recommend one, depending on your needs and personality. I, for one, am not afraid to read anything that slanders God or our Lord Jesus, or anyone who is completely aware of the reality of the three. Hee hee. I used to be the biggest blasphemer I knew, like Lieutenant Dan in the Crow's Nest. No joke. I would love for you to know, at least as much as I do. Actually, I would like to be your brother in Christ, but you would have to take that up with your priest. I have read the account of Moses, and I have read Mein Kampf by Hitler. And I have also seen and heard President Bush. And to relate the three of them is not very deep thought. In fact, it would take a lot of foul language, foot stamping, name bashing, and possibly even crapping one's pants to get even the stupidest grad schooler to buy into the concept. As a true Flagstonian, I don't want to be related with it, and I want it off my streets. My children live here. If you can't handle tough reality, then go back to New York, or California, or Candyland. Reasonable thoughts, yes. Propaganda for the devil, no. I do not care for religions either. But the Bible states what true religion is, James 1:27. Anything besides that, and it's not Christ-like. Religions are of man. Love is of Christ. My ignorance was self-imposed. My belief is due to the hand of God. I appreciate your request that people educate themselves on these matters, and I take it you are including yourself. Unfortunately, as you say, factual reasoning gets thrown out when ignorant loudmouths are just making noise. So let's not submerge to their level, but rather seek the truth. I am a man who claims to know the truth. I also claim that the devil runs from it. Although I am already experienced enough to know that all truth would burn me to a crisp, there will be plenty of time for that later. I will challenge any question anyone has for a Christian, and try not to offend. And I will listen and relate to all open wounds caused in the name of Christ. I will love you, and I will wage war against 1,000 demons for you. I will die for our Lord, and I will help you when I see you hurting. But I will not sit by and hear the word of God get what Satan deserves. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is so far the only sinless man this world has ever seen, and the best women by far are found in church. Brothers and sisters, that was the response to the Flagstaff Tea Party some years ago that they challenged Christians too. And I read the article previously that Frieda Van Houten had written about how God was a mistreater of women. Now, we proved to her through the scriptures that he in fact has protected women ever since the fall, ever since Eve. They have been under the protection of men and God. Now, I found out very shortly after writing this, the following, I sent a letter to every single one of the editors, I sent a letter to almost every one of their distributors. I found out the following magazine that came out was the last magazine. They had enough money left over to make one more publication, and then it was the end. There was a plea from Frieda's husband, the lead man, the lead editor, one of the chief people of the magazine, for support. Their primary supporter pulled out and took his finances with him. Many other supporters pulled out and took their finances with him. There were 12 editors. Six of them pulled out. All I have to say, folks, is swish, swish. Praise God. It's our responsibility to speak the truth. Learn the truth. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Surely, it's the most important thing in our walk. We have to compare every doctrine of man to the Scriptures, and if it doesn't add up, it needs to be thrown in the trash. And if the man who is teaching the doctrine refuses to throw it in the trash, then we need to shake the dust from our feet. We will be kicked out of church, folks. I've been kicked out of church. Guess who else was kicked out of church? The man I follow. The man who's the only begotten Son of God. He who came and became flesh for us. He was kicked out of church. They sought to kill him, in fact. He didn't say anything that his father didn't say. He didn't do anything that his father didn't do. So I highly suggest that you don't say anything that he didn't say, and you don't do anything that he didn't do. Listen to the words in red. What would Jesus do? Surely is a motto that we need to apply to every aspect of our lives. I credit the Word of God and the truth and the sword that the Word of God is for the destruction of that magazine 1 month later. They blamed it on something else. They blamed it on an advertisement that they had of a lawyer who was practicing falsely. There was a group against that lawyer who had been taking people for their homes and their money and their bank accounts and using old people. They were coming against that lawyer, doing everything perfectly legal. But many of them claimed that that was the reason why they pulled out of the magazine, which was false. They worked for the magazine. They knew good and well they had every right to say far more than they said against the individual. They published that it was accusations against the person, not that it was factual. They did nothing illegal. But six of the editors left, and many of the supporters, the main supporters, pulled their money away from the magazine. Swish, swish, folks. Swish, swish. That's the sword of the Lord, is the Word of God. All you have to do is step out in faith, put your investment, put your money into doing His will and planting the seeds. Folks, if you want the Word of God out there, if we are to sow seed, you're going to have to spend your money on some seed. You're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to dig up the earth. You're going to have to pull out some rocks. You're going to have to pluck some weeds. You're going to have to try to sprinkle that seed on good soil. And some of it will be taken by the birds. And some of it will grow up among rocks and thorns. And you'll see them and you'll know them by their fruit. But folks, some of it will land in good soil, and it will bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. 100 grains each. Look at all them seeds. More seeds. So where is your investment, folks? Where is your investment? Do you really believe that there is reward after this life? Or are you more concerned in spending your investment on what you can gain while you're here? If you are, how shallow? Where did Jesus put his investment? It certainly wasn't here. If we follow the man, then we will follow him and go where he goes and do as he does. We will truly inherit what he has for us, but we must truly be willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice, folks, that which is given. Remember, some gave all. To whom much is given, much is required. The Scripture doesn't distinguish a difference between how much is much and how much is much. All it says is you're given much, and much is required. I, for one, believe that if the majority of the church is not giving so much as a tithe, and I'm not talking about just financially, it's going to require the rest of us, the remnant, those who truly are seeking the truth and are willing to put the truth out there, regardless of persecution, either from without or within, it's up to us to give more. If we truly are the followers of Christ, as the disciples of Christ were his followers, then we shall do as they did. We shall give our lives, not just physically, but as we walk every single day, we will sacrifice every single day. And folks, you will understand what it means to be a well of water. That is running water. Read your scriptures. It says flowing water. You cannot flow unless you give out. If there's no outlet, then it is stagnant. You can have an inlet and still be a stagnant pool. You have to also have an outlet. This, brothers and sisters, is going out, finding the least of these. Because Jesus Christ said, whomever is the least of these, and you do these good things, so you've done it to me. So folks, if you want to pursue Christ, then I suggest that you find those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who are blind, those who are out there in the byways and the highways, in the gilded cages, in the grocery store, everywhere, every person you come in contact to, God will open the doors. Just be prepared to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within you, be he a religious man or be he a pagan. You name it. Of course, nowadays it's almost one and the same. So, folks, religious warfare is a very strong issue when it comes to religious warfare. Not just warfare with the media or on behalf of your brothers and sisters, but when you get into religious warfare, there is truly some opposition against you. Truly some opposition against you. Political warfare is probably easier than religious warfare. So make sure, if you do participate in religious warfare, that your word is dead on with the word of God. And if God has given you prophecy, folks, you need to make sure that it lines up with Scripture as well. Because they want Scripture. You don't just walk in and say, this is what God's shown me. You need some Scripture. I wrote one other media man here in town named Joe Schumann. He was one of the editors in The Weekly, which I also call The Weekly, but it's spelled different, as in weakling. I wrote Joe Schumann. I really enjoyed your article on the churches. Most entertaining. You have literary talent and great vocabulary. I only had to look up a few words. I am also a writer of sorts and a God chaser. Enclosed is a response to a newspaper from my hometown. It is no longer in publication, nor its subsidiary, The Noise. I credit the Word of God for dividing the sheep from the goats. Six editors quit, miscellaneous supporters bailed, and the founder and financial backbone withdrew. Swish, swish. Your commentary isn't insulting or abrasive to the fact that we need God. Only the context remains the same. You need God. And so do they. You acknowledge sin as sin, and you have biblical roots. The spirit of your ratings conclude that you are aware that denominationalism is not the key to our problems. The answer is the Bible. It is a steel ruler, a calibrator. No other book has ever been proven 100% prophetically accurate and true. There are millions of them. One or more is just for you. Theologians, meaning God logic, have researched them all and found there are only a 2% difference between any translation. Regardless of this, and even for the same reason, I use many. Strangely enough, stats have shown that mafia or black market owns 2% of world business. The word denomination does not exist in the Bible, only doctrine, and it is categorized as sound or false. I have heard the latter used in describing a quantity of money. Well, I guess in this case it would be the prior, used in describing a quantity of money. Another strange coincidence, that being denomination. The path of God is not a superhighway, my friend. It is a rocky, twisted path, and few are those who find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. King Solomon taught that if a boy was brought up in the way of God, that he would not turn away from it as a man. If you think you had it rough, I was raised Jehovah's Witness. However, the seed was planted, thank God. You seek truth and may have eyes to see and ears to hear. You will find him if you truly seek him. It is so, as it is written. Read it aloud, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means Jesus. God created you with a very specific purpose, Joe. Perhaps it is to lead the people rather than follow, to be the light and salt of the earth. His word goes forth and does not come back void. It's only your choice if you want to jump on and be a part of it. With God, all things are possible. Never give up on him, my friend. He never gave up on us. It is Christ that we must follow and take guidance from, not any man. He didn't just die for us. He lived for us, sacrificing himself every day of his life. With Christ as king of your life, no man will ever have dominion over you, or woman, or demon. A new heart is waiting for you. Trust God alone and live for Jesus. Welcome to the war. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is JT. You've been listening to From the Hip on Remnant Radio. We welcome phone calls at the end of the program. If anybody wants to call in with educated commentary, the number here is 702-293-5224. You can find us online at remnantradio.org. So, with that, we're going to break into your previously scheduled program, and we'll talk to you again next week with more examples of spiritual warfare. God bless.
He told Roosevelt that neither America nor Britain is fighting the new and the important type of war on more than the smallest scale. He said, "Our defense is against political and psychological warfare."